Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today, and welcome to any visitors. We're glad to have you here as well. Special thank you to those that are helping with our service this morning, Bob and Mark, and Mark in the back. We have Jason, and then we also have Linda singing, and we're getting the acolytes going again here at church, so they will be helping to extinguish the candles at the end, and then once we're back to somewhat normal, they'll help with other parts of the service. Just a couple other announcements. Our annual meeting will be next Sunday between services. If you would please be sure to grab one of our annual reports on your way out. The ballot for that is in the back, and then we'll meet again in between services here in the sanctuary. Drive-through communion continues on Wednesdays as long as there's no rain, and that will be on our side door here. Prayer chain requests, keep sending those to the office. A Monday morning Bible study in October is meeting in the fellowship hall at 10 a.m., and I think anyone can come to that at any point if you haven't yet. And then confirmation will meet this Wednesday from 6 until 7 here in the sanctuary. And we've resumed worship on Wednesday nights at 7 in the sanctuary as well, if that's something you're interested in participating. I know we have a temple talk here today, so I invite you to come on forward. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gifts of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to life in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God hears the cries of all who call out in need, and through his death and resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, led by the Holy Spirit. Live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life of abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from the book of Isaiah, 25th chapter, beginning at the first verse. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was still. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clean. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all people, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The second reading is from the book of Philippians, 4th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Word of God. May we rightly understand and boldly apply God's word.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away, and the one who had received the 5 talents went off at once, traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents, and see, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And one with the two talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents, and see, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where it will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a story told of a man who was taking a walk down a country lane when he came across a stone quarry in which some men were working. He questioned several of them what they were doing. The first replied rather crabby, "Can't you see? I'm hewing a stone." The second answered without looking up, "I'm earning $300 a week. But when the same question was put to the third man, he stopped, put his pick down, stood up, stuck out his chest, and said, "If you want to know what I'm doing, I'm building a cathedral. So it's a matter of how far we can see. The first man could not see beyond his pick. The second man could not see beyond his Friday paycheck. But the third man looked beyond his tools and his wages to the ultimate end he was serving. He was cooperating with the architect. However small his particular contribution, he was helping to construct a building for the house of worship. Our work then can be, provided how much our job is contributing into the world, a small and indirect way to the forwarding of God's purpose for all humanity. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." Perhaps one of the most universal questions asked of people from as small as you can talk, as early childhood, is this: what do you want to be when you grow up? I found myself asking my own two kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? One has been dead set on becoming a veterinarian, whereas the other has gone from a salesman to an American Picker junk collector to a radiologist because they make a lot of money, and fourth is financial advisor. You get the point. Isn't it hard to know the answer? What do you want to be when you grow up? The question changes as the child ages, and the answers change as well. Cowboys and mermaids over time begin to think a little bit more realistically, and family and friends and teachers all join in on the conversation. It is an exciting and confusing time. And I would say that a lot of kids, when they get ready to graduate high school, how many of you think that they even have a clue, what do you want to be when you grow up, when they graduate high school? And folks even ask me today, did you always want to be a pastor? And the answer is no way. We continue with our Reformation sermon series for the month of October, and today's theme, as you may have gleaned already, is vocation. Vocation is defined as a strong feeling of suitability for a particular career or occupation. This is a calling, a purpose, a mission, and here's the really excellent part. We all have a vocation. This isn't limited to pastors or people in ministry. This isn't limited to doctors or nurses or others in healing professions. This isn't limited to teachers. We all have a particular calling from God to use our gifts to build the cathedral, to build the kingdom of God. So God has given you that gift. Can an electrician, a grocery store clerk, a teacher all serve God? Whatever our particular contribution is in this world, we're helping to build a world that glorifies God. And we are not stagnant beings, so our vocation changes over time. It grows, morphs. A lot of you here this morning are retired, so you know that your vocation today is probably not the same as when you were in your 20s, am I right? But does God still call you? Every day. If you want to know what I'm doing, I'm building a cathedral. Can we see the bigger picture? How are we cooperating with God, who is the master architect? Our lesson today finds a man digging a hole in the ground. We learn about a man going on a journey, entrusted a portion of his wealth to three of his employees. Two of the three invested their wealth, received commendable returns. But the third, what did he do? Hid it in the ground. When the man returned to settle his accounts, two were commended and rewarded, but the one who put it in the hole, he was criticized and penalized. He hid his master's money because he was afraid. Two of the men live with courage, and one was prompted with fear. In Jesus' day, a talent was equal to about 20 years of a day laborer's wage. In today's economy, if you assume that a day laborer makes about $20,000 a year, then one talent was worth $400,000. Five talents back then would have been equivalent to $2 million today. So each of these men were entrusted with large gifts And how do they take care of it? And so each goes with every one of us. God has given each of us a large gift, a calling. How do we take care of it and use it? Do we share them with others in courage? Or do we dig a hole, shove them in there, cover it up with dirt, forget it? For Martin Luther, vocation is nothing less than the locus or the point of the Christian life that God works in and through us, and he does so by calling human beings to work in their vocations. God places us in our temporal life, this physical realm where we all live, where we grow in faith, and you all have various callings. Are any of you here a spouse, a parent, a church member, a citizen, a worker? We are called to live our faith. And what does that mean? Galatians says, faith bears fruit in love. Luther's doctrine of vocation says that the purpose of every vocation is to love and serve our neighbors. He said it this way, that God, and I love this quote, God does not need our good works, but our neighbors do. Did you catch that? God does not need your good works, but our neighbors do. That our relationship with God is completely on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, and we believe that we are justified by faith. So justification by faith excludes any kind of dependence on our works for our salvation. We come before God, though, clothed not in our own works and merits, but those primarily that only come from Christ. And being justified by faith, then you are sent back out into the world, into your vocation to love and serve our neighbors. Last week, do you remember the lawyer's question to Jesus? Who is my neighbor? And he gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. We have many relationships, our friends, our enemies even, the people who live next door, strangers, some guy bleeding on the side of the road. God calls us to, in order to render them in love and service. Now another Martin Luther King Jr., understood also what Luther was talking about when he put it this way, and you may have heard this before. If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. So how do we live out our vocations in love and service? This is a lifelong work in progress. And we need a sign on our noggin that says, under construction. In January of 1995, J. Robert Ashcroft had fewer than 48 hours to live, but he was holding on to hope that he could see his son, John Ashcroft, sworn into the U.S. Senate the next day. John Ashcroft eventually became one of our attorney generals. As family and friends gathered in Washington for a small reception, J. Robert Ashcroft asked his son to play the piano while everyone sang, "We are standing on holy ground." After the song, the frail old man spoke powerful words. "John, I want you to know that even Washington can be a place of holy ground. Wherever you hear the voice of God, that ground is sanctified. It's a place where God can call you to the highest and very best." So wherever you are on your vocation today, if Christ is our Lord, then that is where we are standing on holy ground in service to him. That God has called you and he's given you talents to live it out. Don't dig the hole. Live them. Frederick Buechner says it this way, vocation is the place where the world's greatest needs and a person's greatest joy meet. Vocation is the place where the world's greatest needs and a person's greatest joy meet. Maybe your call is to be a good sibling or son or daughter or parent or grandparent. Maybe your call is to be a farmer or secretary or veterinarian or musician or the next American picker. Don't bury those gifts. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. If you want to know what I'm doing, I'm building a cathedral. All of us here today, we are working on a cathedral, the body of Christ, and we are cooperating with the master architect. Amen. I invite you to stand for the hymn of the day. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue now with the prayers of intercession. I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and your response will be, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Gracious host, fill your church with the spirit of joyous hospitality. We pray for bishops, teachers, church leaders, and all children of God as they invite others to your table of boundless grace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, as creation waits with eager longing for redemption, protect your creatures that are mistreated. Restore valleys, mountains, and pastures, and still and running waters. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, as you set a table in the presence of enemies, so bless the efforts of diplomats, internal peace workers, and world leaders who navigate conflict. May they proceed with dialogue and understanding so that justice and peace prevails. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, let your gentleness be known among those who are weary or ill. Today, we especially remember before you Donna Smith, Judy Lang, Curtis Stover and family, Tim Brainerd, Rosemary Stickrod, Teresa Copps, Clayton Erickson, Judy Van Alstine, Carol Martins, Anna Fallon, Jose Mendoza. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, when we are quick to judge outward appearance, remind us how you clothe all in your mercy. We pray for ministry to provide clothing and other personal care assistance in this community and beyond. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, as we remember those who have died and are gathered at the heavenly banquet, comfort us with your presence, assure us of your peace at all times. Lord, in your mercy. Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace with a peace sign or an air high five. You may be seated at this time. We'll receive our offering. We are still collecting those offerings online or in the plate in the back, and the link will be provided below. I invite you to stand as you're able. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet and nourish us with these good gifts. Send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world through Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and lead you into the way of truth and life. Amen.
This little light of mine, this little light of mine,
Go in peace, remember the poor.